Right, you're listening to Studio Plus, and today in the studio with me and Xiang Wei, we have Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, an international HR consultative company based in China. How are you, Robert?
Good afternoon. I'm great. It's great to be here.
Welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, as you know, March is the peak season for job hunting and job hopping, and some of our listeners are about to graduate from college or graduate school, and they're trying to find a job, and some of them are hoping to hop to a different company.
And they're curious, and they're longing for your help since they've listened to you here for some time, and they find the segment helpful and believe that you always give listeners some enlightening ideas.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, but the questions are quite challenging, Robert, so are you ready to
I'll
help
our
listeners?
I'll do my best.
Great. So let's get started.
So this question just stuck out. It just seems so interesting. So in China, there is a common custom for employers to ask what kind of salary package you want. But our listener named Cattle would like to know if there is an appropriate manner in which you can ask the employer about the salary package. And when is the appropriate time to ask?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this. I was reading an article the other day about English finishing schools for the kind of Chinese nouveau riche. And one of the things we're taught in England is that you should never talk about money in public. So you never talk about how much you earn and stuff. So it's for sure a sensitive topic. I think the reality is you can't really ask. That would be my view of things. You have to kind of wait and anticipate for what the offer will be. Of course, you can say what your expectations are. You've got to be on the money there. You've got to, present correct expectations. But the other thing you can do is research, does the position pay? Because you've got to be, making predictions which are realistic and in line with the market. So if you're going for a first job as a junior receptionist and you say, well, I'm looking for 12,000 RMB a month, you're going to be laughed out of the room. So it's a tricky one. And I think you've got to just use your common sense and go with your opinion. There'd be some people, a friend of mine, a CEO actually, a friend of mine from in Australia, who says when he goes for job interviews, he says, this is how much I earn. I expect £300,000 a year, nothing less. And he's up front. There would be some people who'd say you've got to be more cautious. So I guess it's a question of judgment in the situation.
Perhaps it's like if you know someone in the company already or you know someone in a rival company,
exactly.
You can kind of gauge how much you're going to be earning.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And sometimes I think the employer will ask, what is your expectation? Maybe that's the good time for you to raise your opinion.
Exactly. And there, when you answer that question, you've got to be realistic as per the expectation. You can't overplay it. But likewise, you can't underplay it. If you say, if a job pays 7,000 a month based on your research and you say, well, I'll take it for five, that's a tremendous sort of sign of a lack of confidence. Although having said that, when I was looking for my first job in London, I sent my CV off to 100 companies and said, I'll work for free for the first 6 months. And hey presto, 16 years later, that's exactly what's happening, ironically enough. But that's a different story.
Yeah, me too. I work for free for 1 year.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
Okay, and here's another Studio Plus fan whose nickname is just Zay. He or she says, I'm not sure about the direction I want to take my career in and is not sure how to find the right field. So, Robert, can you please advise? This person is probably a college student.
Yeah, I mean, and we touched on something on this last time. I'm a big fan of testing and bringing some science into the art of job hunting. And there's an acronym called DISC, which stands for Dominance, Independence, Stability and Compliance. And you can take, there are many flavors of DISC-based tests, but they will all give you an indication as to what sort of person you are and therefore what kind of job is appropriate for you. And, for example, there will be some people who are very, very happy doing the filing and making cups of coffee all day because they don't need constant change and challenge. So be scientific over it and use some of the tools that are available out there. But on the other side of the coin, if you ask most people in their 40s and 50s, did you know what you would be doing at your current age, when you were 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever, I guarantee you it would be something different. You know, most people say, excuse me, I got into this by, I just fell into this job or into that job. And, you know, I even know professional people, lawyers, for example, who've made career changes mid-career and got into something because they felt that a change of career was useful.
That's very interesting. I actually did one of these tests when I was 18, and like the test said, your job will be a storyteller. So I guess that's accurate-ish.
Indeed.
Yes. Now, one question I really, really liked, it was from a guy called Draco. Now, he says that he's working in media for some time in video editing, and he says he has some work experience, but he then spent several months doing part-time jobs without being able to find another full-time position. And I think that talks about how we talked about earlier on how a lot of us work for free to begin with. And how should I explain this during my next job interview? Because his resume sort of looks like a dog's dinner.
Well, I think to answer Draco's question, I think, you know, we don't have the context of why, you know, he left his first job in media. You know, if the reason was, you know, he murdered someone in his office, then probably that's something to leave off the CV. But, you know, if it was a reasonable, if there was a reasonable reason for making a change, it's perfectly acceptable to do part-time jobs. That's completely fine. And actually, it shows initiative and resourcefulness. It shows you, you know, what you don't want is to just be sitting at home doing nothing or, you know, quote unquote, having a good rest. You know, I get fed up of hearing that one. I can tell you.
Ah, that's very interesting indeed.
And here is a question from Susan. I'm working at a joint venture company here in Beijing, and I'm thinking about changing my job, which is my company's rival in the market. I can't get my supervisor to recommend me, of course, but I've got a friend in my current company who can help me write a reference. I'm concerned about whether such reference raises doubts about my friend's ethic standards. That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think it depends in which context you put the reference. If it's as a character reference, I think it's okay. But you can't really present that as an employer's reference. So it's a question of presentation, that one, I would say.
It depends on what the rival company needs.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the company may well anticipate this situation if they are complete rivals. You know, it's acceptable.
All right. Thank you, Robert. And we're going to have a short jingle. I'll be right here, right after this message.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus, something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus. Studio Plus.
And then now we're going to another question of mine that I just really, really wanted to know is from Chen Lin. Now, she is currently working in broadcasting in Beijing and switched jobs 3 times over the last year. And then she heard that employers who live in the same city and industry often know each other and are scared that it may have built up a bad reputation in the industry. Is that really true? And how should I explain this to my next employer? And have I ruined my career? Should I leave the city?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. I was sitting in a restaurant in Phuket last week, and I bumped into someone that I'd not seen for 15 years. And we did completely different jobs. And, you know, it was amazing, really, to see them there. The point is, the world is small. Yes, people absolutely do talk to each other. If there's one thing that's important about the Chinese business environment, it's guanxi and relationships and friendships. So you do have to be careful. People do talk, for sure. And simple advice I'd give to this person, if they've changed jobs 3 times in 1 year, is don't do it again. Stay in your current job for the next 3 to 4 years at least. Because the point is, you know, if you look at it scientifically, people tend to get into habits and patterns of behavior that get repeated and repeated and repeated. So if you're in a bad sort of spiral, you've got to get yourself out of it.
Mm.
Maybe, yeah. If people get encountered in many difficulties, so they want to change their jobs, but maybe if you hang there and solve the problem, you may find a new circumstances that you will be favored.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely right. Completely agree.
Yeah. Here is our Studio Plus fan named Paul. Says, I've been working in my current company for a year. While I really like my job, but I don't get particularly well with my coworkers. So sometimes I feel like it is too much and I really want to leave my job. But I'm scared it would look bad on my CV. Should I try and gain another year of experience here for the sake of my CV or just move on? I think that's so simple.
I think that's a very intelligent question, actually, from Paul. I think it's, again, I'd have to ask, you know, what sort of, what's the cause of the poor relationship? Is that something that he can overcome and he can do something about? And therefore, would that be a little mini achievement for him to learn to start to get on with people? Or is the situation where, for example, he's being discriminated against? And for example, if someone isn't getting on with their colleagues because of their sexual orientation, for example, and they're being, that's discrimination. It's not getting along with people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a different circumstance. But I do think he's right to consider it. I applaud him for considering that situation. And I think if at all possible to solve the issue with his colleagues would be a great thing to do. Because again, if he doesn't do that, the chances are fairly likely of moving to another job, and then, hey presto, the pattern continues.
Yes.
And you know, you fall out with other people as well, or possibly do so.
It's like saying there's always a pain in every single company.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. It's hard sometimes looking in the mirror, and I don't know the circumstances of this one, and we can't assume it is his fault, and you know, if we have to talk about blame at all, but certainly resolution would be a real achievement, and achievement motivates, remember.
Very wise advice. Maybe Paul should you know, to sort out what he is facing now and to decide what to do next.
Exactly.
So one thing you mentioned earlier was just changing careers, and it seems very unusual for someone, let's say they're 35, to suddenly become a lawyer. So we have like another listener, Xiao Xiong, who said, last year I completed a law degree at LSE and I've been working in the field for less than a year and have decided it's not for me. I am really interested in finance. I do not have the relevant experience in that field, but I consider myself quite knowledgeable in the industry. I've taken the CFA exams and would like to know if switching careers was feasible.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this. If I was the person that had paid for your education at the London School of Economics, I would be very upset right now because, you know, after 6 months, you do not know if you like a job or not. No one likes their first job. Everyone's first job is tedious grunt work. And often that's a kind of test. And of course, again, it's the pattern situation. You know, if you quit that, you go and do your CFA exams, you know, you get a job in finance. And then, you know, you turn around and when something gets a little bit difficult and you think, oh, well, I don't like that either. You know, and it happens all over again. You know, my view is really, you know, when you make your career choices, you make your choices. And, you know, whatever you do, do it well. You know, that's the point. You know, whatever you do it to the best of your abilities, whether you're a policeman, builder, bricklayer, lawyer, it doesn't matter. You know, it's do it well, enjoy it, get along with your colleagues. That's the point, I would say. So I'd be very worried about that individual, you know, quitting his job and doing something else. I think that would be crazy, quite frankly.
Okay, and our listener Summer is considering the location of her job. She said, I have just graduated from school with a degree in fashion design. I'm currently living in Guangzhou with my family. I've been offered a good job in Beijing, however. The weather there is really cold, and I'm not sure I will be able to get used to life there. Is it worth me holding out for a better position in an area I would prefer, or should just bite the bullet and take the job in Beijing?
Yeah, I mean, I read this, and I wasn't quite sure how seriously to take it. I would say some bullet biting is very good advice to young Summer, because, you know, honestly, what do employers want to see? People want to see people who are push themselves out of their comfort zone, to use a too oft quoted cliche. People want to see people who do things that challenge them. And people, you have to be mobile. You know, it's the constant topic in China is this migration. You know, Beijing, Shanghai, the East Coast cities are full to bursting. It's moving into the second and third tier cities that is going to be a source of economic growth in the next 5 years or so. So generally the employment market wants to see people who are mobile. But actually, I would say in my experience as a recruitment consultant for the last 10 years here, actually people in China are pretty mobile, a lot more mobile than, say, people in Germany are or people from my country, the UK, are. People, you know, do tend to go where the money is or the jobs are.
Yeah, you're right. No one in this room are from Beijing,
right,
as far as I know.
I mean, yeah, this actually speaks a lot to me because I was living in Hong Kong and I would actually like to stay in Hong Kong because my family's there. It's a warm environment. It's a pretty city. But I did want to bite the bullet because obviously coming to Beijing, it's not just getting new experience and having a job. It's bettering myself because I guess I'll be immersed in Mandarin.
Yeah. Well, and you're talking to someone, don't forget, who's lived in Beijing for 10 years, Amsterdam for 5 years, Brussels for 2 years, Florida for just under a year. You know, it shapes you as a person, you know, to get a bit more deep and meaningful. You know, it's about the whole thing. It gives you other experiences and more perspective. So, yes, Summer, book your plane ticket now and go and get on the plane.
Yeah,
don't
welcome.
Open the doors.
Beijing welcomes you.
Yes,
exactly.
That sounds like the mantra from the Olympics.
Mm.
All right, so thank you, Robert. And I think that's most of the time we have. Very thank you for
Great
being
pleasure.
On the show. I learned a lot, and
yeah,
I hope our listeners did too. All right, so our next song.